Tired of the gender binary, gender policing, or just want to speak your truth?
Join CITR's Gender Empowerment Collective.
This group of radio makers is all about centering the voices, issues, concerns, and experiences of women-identified, transgender, intersex, two-spirit, genderqueer, gender non-conforming, non-binary, and gender-fluid folks and allies.
Anyone can join, no experience necessary.
Like the Gender Empowerment Collective on Facebook or email volunteer at citr.ca.
Our show, Babe Waves, airs Thursdays from 5 to 6 and features music, interviews, events, news, commentary, basically anything we care to talk about.
See you then.
This Quarter Magazine has been supporting local music for over 30 years. Thanks to the long-term support of the Rickshaw Theater, This Quarter lives. Favorite bands are playing at the Rickshaw Theater. Check out their calendar just behind the cover of Discorder magazine or at rickshawtheater.com.
Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to the CITR 101.9 FM from unceded Musqueam territory at UBC Vancouver. My name is Simon Welton, and coming up in the next half hour is, as always, the White Noise Show. It's a half hour of sketch comedy followed by the White Noise After Show. This week, hosted by myself and joined by co-host, we'll call you co-host, Sierra Wiley. How you doing, Sierra?
I've been promoted. I feel great. I'm not a special guest like Connor.
Oh, he was bad at... Connor last week nearly had a... Like, oh, he was so excited when I called him co-host.
Oh, don't tell me you called him that. I'm just really excited that Simon's got a tattoo now.
Yeah? What, are you really that excited by it? I don't think my grandmother's going to be very excited by it, but...
Send her pics.
All right. So, yeah, that I'll post on the website if you want to see it later on, because it is a White Noise tattoo. We're actually ending at the end of August, so me and Nick, who's also in the show, decided to get matching tattoos, and Sierra designed it, so she's pretty stoked on that.
Unwillingly. They took the design from the poster for the live show we did in December. It's just kind of funny to have it as a tattoo.
Yeah, yeah. I know, I'm pretty excited by it.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's get on with the show. It's time for some White Noise. Oh, no, yeah, that's not going to help. There we go.
Warning, the following programming may not be suitable for anyone. Listener discretion is advised.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of White Noise. I'm your host, Richard Blackmore, and tonight's episode is brought to you in part by the Lip Service Association of Canada, proudly led by Justin Trudeau. First up tonight, we return to the future.
Good evening, and welcome back to the year 2077 and our millennial retirement home called Dab House. Tonight, Alan and Barry are getting some exercise in the rec room. It's important that the elderly have regular exercise to keep their muscles supple, their minds sharpish, and their bones from crumbling. The gentlemen are having a nice game of mixed martial arts. Let's listen in.
All right now, guys, let's have a clean fight. No fish hooking, eye gouging, or hits below the waist. Or above the knee. Alan's balls are hanging extremely low.
You're dead! I saw you taking the last jello shooter last night!
Says the guy who was all over my bay at last afternoon's rave!
She was asking for it! She was high as a kite!
No, she wasn't! She always dribbles!
Whatever! I don't want your basic bitch!
Take that back!
All right, enough talk. Touch gloves if you want. You missed, guys. Never mind. Back to your corners. Okay, let's get it on! Come on, guys, engage!
I'm trying, but he keeps running away.
That's not your opponent, that is Mrs. Singh.
Oh, I just came in for a yoga mat.
I'm over here, douchebag!
Stop. Someone's lost a mouth guard.
No, Those are my false teeth.
Oh, okay, continue.
That's it, Barry! Choke him out!
Get off me!
Tap out, you hoser!
Never!
Stop! Stop! Alan's passed out. The fight is over.
Willer! In your face! I am the goat!
Oh, shit. Someone call the nurse.
Oh, dear. Is poor little Alan not feeling well?
No. He's dead.
Oh. Well, I'm going to go see if Alan's wife is down for some Netflix and chill.
Ned and Kieran are playing beer pong in the garden.
No double bounces, you noob.
Since when?
House rules.
We're in the garden.
You know what I mean.
Hey, that isn't beer in your cup.
No, it's a hay, y'all.
I thought they stopped making that after all those high school kids got diabetes.
They did. I just mixed the vodka and iced tea, as that's all it freaking is. Now quit stalling and throw the damn ball.
Oh, fine.
Oh, that didn't bounce at all.
Oh, shit, that's my glass. Ah!
In the dining room, Kendra and Sean are having a disagreement.
You can't be serious.
Oh, says you. You need to get woke, Kendra.
Whatever. All you SJWs need to toughen up, goddamn snowflakes.
Oh, hey, just because I don't think it's okay for you to say all British people have bad teeth.
Hey, the truth hurts, especially when they don't floss.
Oh, shut up, you racist old hag.
Oh, you're so inclusive, aren't you? Except when it comes to people who don't agree with you.
Oh, why don't you go live in Argentina with the other hardened fascists?
I'm the fascist? You're the one dictating opinion?
I am not. I'm just saying, people can be whatever they want to be without judgment.
Except racist.
Yes.
Whatever. Come on, the priest is waiting for us. Let's go renew our vows.
I don't need to hang out with social justice warriors. I can get the same effect by eating a pint of Ben and Jerry's whilst banging my head against the wall. I.e., I get guilt and a headache. But whilst we're on the topic, the alt-righters can also go fuck themselves. Next up tonight, our favourite diarist, Terence Tripoli, is back!
Dear Diary, today I woke up and realised something was missing in my life. My left ear. That will teach me to pass out in the dog park. But upon receiving medical attention from several nuns who were passing on their way to a festival called Nunapalooza, I realised perhaps a greater hole in my life was the lack of religion. It's just people with religion seem so content in their ignorance, and I want that too. I spent several hours at the library researching and masturbating before I came to a decision. It had to be a truly spiritual and all-encompassing faith that benefited me socially and mentally. So I chose the obvious option. I decided to become a Scientologist. I made my way down to the local chapter and booked an appointment with an auditor. I brought all my tax information, but apparently they would only need that later. And I was also told I didn't need to bring my Bunsen burner. The auditor asked me some strange questions, such as my name and my age, and then attached me to an e-meter, which disappointingly had nothing to do with ecstasy. He then asked about my childhood and how I felt about my life, which I explained to him was none of his goddamn business. He seemed confused. Maybe he's never heard of God. Surprisingly, he said my scores were very high and I was the perfect candidate for spending lots of money with their church. He asked me to sign up for these classes that cost lots of cash, but provide you with a priceless and undeserved sense of self-worth above others. I told him I already have one of those and not to waste his time. He then seemed to get annoyed with me, and he asked me to leave. I refused and demanded to speak with L. Ron Hubbard right away. He said that was impossible, which confused me as it clearly says in the brochure that all souls are immortal. Now he started to get aggressive, which seemed comical from a man wearing beige slacks and a polo shirt. He tried to grab me and escort me outside, but I protested and I began flailing my arms, knocking the e-meter to the floor where it broke to expose the complicated innards, which were a piece of copper and a dead mouse. Now he was really pissed and he brought in some other beige trousered and polo shirt wearing men who shoved me towards the exit. In one last desperate attempt to appease them, I cried out, I'm so sorry, I'll buy you another mouse. But alas, they were deaf to my pleas and they threw me unceremoniously into the street, landing on a homeless man begging outside. He was upset, but he graciously let me keep the piece of his meth pipe, which was now lodged in my left buttock. A tender and slightly septic reminder of my only brush with a cult. Sorry, I mean an organized religion.
I would never join a cult. If I want to follow a nut job, I'll just become a Trump supporter. Next up tonight is the news report.
Good evening and welcome to 22 Seconds, a news report for the millennial attention span. I'm When Harry Met Sally.
And I'm Me, Myself, and Irene. Tonight, a report comes out of Vancouver, Canada, confirms a disgruntled mother of two, cats, a dog, and a hamster, has cut off her husband's penis after learning of his infidelity.
She was made aware of this adultery after she matched with him on her Tinder profile.
After confirming the man she had just swiped right on was her husband, at first it was unclear due to the subtle photoshopping his profile picture, she arranged a meetup at a local meat factory, the Roxy Nightclub.
The husband was unaware of his impending mistake as the wife's profile was pictureless and suggested she enjoyed cooking, cleaning, and exercising, none of which she had been known to do.
Upon arriving at the rendezvous point, the wife became distressed at the sight of her husband and reached for the barman's knife used to cut limes and solicit bigger tips and lunged at her husband.
She had meant to stab him in the chest but tripped on her long dress, falling and slicing the end of his penis off.
The husband is recovering in the hospital, where doctors have tried to discharge him, but he has refused to leave, due to a fear of losing the rest of his genitalia upon arriving home.
I would never cheat on my wife. That would be rude. I'd at least go into a different room. Next up tonight, we return to my childhood in Blackmore, Beetlejuice, BB guns, and bunting.
Richard! You ready to go to Scouts?
I can't find my woggle!
Oh, I think it's in my room!
What? What's it doing in there?
Oh, your dad was using it in our role playing.
Oh, gross!
He was pretending he was a scout and I was his scout master.
What? Oh, buy your own friggin' woggle.
We bought that one.
Oh,
calm down. I cleaned it with a wet wipe.
Okay, lads. Today, we are doing orienteering.
Oh, I'm good at that. Isn't that right, lads? You love my impression of an oriental.
No, not that. Save that for the talent competition, Richard. No, today we are going to be using maps to find our way to the chip shop!
Yay!
So, pair up, lads, and meet me outside.
Oh, you want to be with me, David?
No. My mommy said I'm not allowed to speak to you since you left me in that well.
Oh, come on, mate. They got you out eventually. I'm sure your pinky will grow back soon.
I'll be with you, Richard.
Oh, shit. All right, fine, but... I don't want to play show me yours, I'll show you mine again.
Shh. What happens at scout camp stays at scout camp.
All right, boys. You each have your map and your compasses. I'll meet you at the Chippy in 20. I'm taking the full escort. My knees aren't up to it since I forgot to pay my gambling debts. Anyway, just stick to the footpath, and if any farmers try to shoot you, just shout that you hate the EU. That shows them that you're an ally. See you soon, and oh, Richard, no setting fire to anything. You've already earned your arson badge, okay?
Whatever.
So, which way do we go?
I don't know. Dad bought me the wrong kind of compass. You know, it's one of them that's only good for stabbing.
You're meant to use it to draw circles, you dickhead.
Yeah, well, obviously, you don't go to as rough a school as me.
Well, that way is south, because I can see the landfill site and the tire fire. So we have to go east, towards the chemical plant. Such a beautiful countryside, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's friggin' picturesque.
Come on, Richard, climb the fence.
I'm trying. My foot's stuck in a cow pat.
Jesus, give me your hand.
I'm not playing that game again.
I'm just gonna pull you over, dickhead.
Don't say dick, please. Ugh. I wonder what this field's for. There isn't any crops.
Oh, look, some cows.
Oh, great. Never seen one of them before.
Oh, they're coming over. Very quickly.
Maybe a little longer.
Oh, they're coming over. Very quickly.
Oh, cool. Look, they got septum piercings. Oh, and big balls for a cat. Oh, shit, they're balls.
Run!
Ah! Run! I don't do running.
Well, that saved you climbing over the next fence.
Made it. Finally. Dear God, that was the longest 20 minutes of my friggin' life.
At least we're here now.
Yeah, where's everyone else?
Maybe the bulls got them?
Wait, what's a chap's shop?
Shit, I don't think they have any pies in there.
I never did get my orienteering badge, but I did win the Scout National Talent Competition 1978. However, I have been told that that impression of mine is now a little bit dated. Next up tonight, Elvis and Dolly are back!
Good afternoon, Elvis and Dolly.
Howdy.
Hi, darling.
Well done on uncovering North Korea's lack of nuclear weapons. It'll make our inevitable invasion that much easier. This week, we have a domestic issue for you to tackle.
Aw, shit. Who's been slapping his wife? I'll break his fingers.
No, not that sort of domestic issue, Elvis. We need you to infiltrate a group of neo-Nazis who are operating in Northern California.
What? These guys are, like, combining Nazis with Neopets?
No, idiot. It means they believe the ideas of the Nazis, but they're active now.
Oh. Well, you can understand my confusion.
No, I can't. Why do you always get to drive?
Because women can't drive.
Wow, Elvis. Wow.
I know. My driving is pretty impressive.
God, give me strength.
Be quiet. Hold my beer. I gotta change gear.
So what's the grand plan?
Shit, I thought you were sorting that.
Well, the dossier says they're having a meeting up near a small town called Happy Camp.
For real?
That's what it's called.
So, what do they expect us to do when we get there?
They want to know who the leader is and what they're planning to do.
Oh, well that shouldn't take more than 20 minutes.
What, for you to blow your cover?
Relax, I'll be as cool as James Brown.
I don't think these people appreciate James Brown.
Ah, yeah, touche. Oh, this must be it.
Oh, what gave it away? The swastika flags? The sign that says no Jews? Or the 20-foot statue of Hitler?
Oh, I thought that was Charlie Chaplin.
Wind your window down.
Hi, welcome to the Jew-hating Jamboree. Please leave this parking pass visible on your dashboard. And here's a complimentary tote bag. Please refrigerate the meringues as soon as possible. Have a nice day.
Shit, that was easy.
Excuse me?
Have a nice day too, ma'am. You fucking Nazi.
Okay, I guess we should make an appearance in there.
Keep a low profile, try to blend in.
Ooh, look at the itinerary. Ted Nugent is playing tonight.
Oh, shit. He might recognize me. I once spat in his face.
Oh, because of, like, his political views?
Nah, just for his music.
Hey, everybody, please take your seats. We are about to get started. Make sure you buy your raffle tickets. Tonight's prize is a new patio set.
Ooh!
Also, make sure you visit the Tombola. Plenty of great prizes to be won. including wine whose grapes weren't picked by Mexicans.
Yay!
And don't forget, we got some great guest speakers coming up. We got Paula Deen, Hulk Hogan, and most exciting of all, Donald Trump's second cousin!
Woo! White power!
Yes, Randy, white power. We are starting very shortly.
Okay, this is too weird.
Be cool, man. I want to meet Hulk Hogan.
Well, that isn't Hulk Hogan. That's clearly an impersonator.
How can you tell?
That dude's like 90 pounds and bald.
Oh, right. So what do we do now?
I guess we make conversation until we work out what's going on.
Fine. Hey, howdy there. How you doing, man?
Well, hello. And how are you doing there, buddy?
Not bad. I love your bald eagle shirt. Real tasteful.
Thanks. You gotta celebrate the greatest country in the world.
Oh, yeah, bro.
You knew? I ain't seen you around here before.
That's right. First meeting. My name is Elvis, Costello. Elvis Costello.
Well, nice to meet you. I'm Hank, and this is my wife, Betty Jane. But everyone calls her BJ. And who's this?
Hi, I'm Jenny.
No, you're this is, Jane.
Jenny?
Sorry, right, Jesse.
Well, whatever you're called, you're both welcome here. Want to do some shots?
Hell yeah! Wow, you guys ain't so bad.
Of course not, we're real American folk here.
I can tell. I don't understand why you guys, us guys, get such a bad rep.
Well, it's all that fake news. Always saying we be hating when all we really want is the extermination of non-white Americans.
Oh.
What? You ain't on board with that? What's the matter? I thought you were one of us. Do we have a problem?
No. Because I got a gun.
Elvis, no!
Yeah, well, so does every one of us.
Ah, God damn it. This is so much easier in foreign countries.
Okay, we're just gonna leave quietly.
No, you ain't, sweetheart.
Wait, let me give you guys a peace offering. Here, catch this.
Well, now, what do we want with your C4?
Phew, at least that shit is still illegal here.
Oh, dear God, Elvis! Now I'm covered in white supremacist blood!
Huh, I guess we all do bleed red.
White Noise does not condone the murdering of white supremacists, as they are already dead on the inside. That's the end of our show. Join us again for more White Noise.
White Noise was written and directed by Simon Welton, starring the voice talents of Caitlin Docking, Nick Rinker, Sierra Wiley, Kenneth Tynan, Connor Neckleput, and Simon Welton.
Guest writing by no one!
Alright, there we go. That is the White Noise Show for another week. I hope you enjoyed our half-hour sketch comedy. There will be more comedy next week, of course, as usual. You can keep up with us throughout the week on Twitter and Facebook. Our Twitter is White Noise YVR, Facebook is White Noise UBC. And if you have any questions or comments, send them in to whitenoiseubc@gmail.com.
We're open for contact communication. If you're offended by anything, we'd love to hear what bothers you.
Yeah, what you took out of context there or just didn't clearly understand in the slightest.
Exactly.
Please, tell us and then we can correct you.
Because, you know, the white supremacist sketch, it's actually, read it, you know, exactly how it sounds. Like, that is exactly how we believe things. Right, Simon?
Well, that's how I think white supremacists sound, yes. You know, if Louis Theroux documentaries are taken to be true, basically what they sound like. So I think that was pretty spot on. what did you think of this week's episode? Not bad, eh?
That was quite funny, yeah.
Yeah. You may have noticed I definitely screwed up. You left the room for a moment then, you missed. I totally screwed up. There was like one bit I forgot to edit out, which is me like getting Ken to redo a line during the Blackmore's childhood sketch, but oh well.
Well,
know.
Even the most expert radio editor is misaligned here
now. Yeah, once in a blue moon. I was editing that late last night. Probably shouldn't drink so much while I'm editing.
What do you mean? Whatever could you mean?
Sorry, man. Those dino sours are just delicious.
Screw him. He works at a liquor store.
All right. We are, of course, going to do the White Noise After Show right away, which means we're going to play a mixture of good music and also have some debates about some current events and maybe some stuff from this week's show. So stick around for that. So let's kick that off right now with a track by a band called Ghost Twin, who we haven't actually played on the show before, and their song Blue Room. So check it out.
When I saw you in the line, I thought that it was understood that I can make you mine. When I saw you in the line, I thought that it was understood that I can make you mine.
woke up in East London, on the floor of the hotel hallway. Screen is cracked, my wallet's God knows where. What time it is, I can't say. I practically forgot my name. All I remember is singing so loud, the taxi driver kicked us out. As we sang, we will live forever. Stay out even later, making nights we can't remember. As we sang, it doesn't even matter if we don't agree on nothing, as long as we're together. Hey, you, I'll be taking off soon. Take me to your bedroom.
There we go, that was Fake Shark with Thrills. Do apologise for the technical difficulty there. Apparently our CD players just hate us this week. We had two tracks fail one after another. Bizarre.
Here I was thinking it was just Simon.
Yeah, I'm like, what the hell is going on? Sorry, apologise for that. But, you know, we do our best to in the circumstances. Anyway, so our first topic for tonight.
Who was that band right there? They sounded awesome.
That was Fake Shark with Thrills, as they did say.
Oh,
yeah,
oh,
yeah.
My bad.
And before that, we did also get out Not You with Mabel. And before that, we tried to play Betrayers with The Devil Doesn't Want You.
It's a really cool album, actually. Yeah. You should check it out.
Yeah, check it out online. This album's called 12 Songs to Haunt You. Definitely check that out. Because unfortunately we couldn't play
it. Hopefully
on
online
here.
Has a better version.
Yeah,
than,
it doesn't
our studio.
Just skip and die. So our first topic for tonight, Sierra, is obviously a little bit of a tender topic, but I think it's an interesting one. I think it's one we can definitely digest well. There was a news article this week about somebody who was trying to fight a legal battle to have their child's, this is in BC, to have their child's birth certificate not have any gender assigned to it so that the child can decide upon their gender when they get to an age where they can vocalize and make that decision for themselves. So the question is this necessary? Does it negatively affect a child to give them a gender prior to them consciously becoming aware of what gender they believe they are? What do you think?
I think that's a really interesting topic. It kind of reminds me of the idea of like baptizing a child before they're able to make the choice for what religion they might want. I could definitely see the logic for why you might not want to have that sort of stipulating what gender someone might be before they're able to make that choice. But I feel like on one hand, it could actually be a useful thing just for like census statistics, just to have an idea of like the demographic makeup of a certain province or a country. And I don't think like it has to be set in stone. And I think, you know, you could do well to kind of incorporate more genders into the legal system. But I think just like starting from with a good step of, or like don't start kind of full throttle with it, you know, give the opportunity for a kid to be raised in an environment that recognizes that there's some complexity and there's more of a spectrum than just this gender binary. But maybe, you know, just sort of the useful stipulation on the birth certificate isn't so harmful.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there in that, like, because I think obviously what the problem is if a child does become conscious of their gender, decides that the gender they're born with isn't theirs, want to change it, and then they are met with obstacles and they're met with problems trying to change it, mm-hmm. that's obviously when the real problems occur. So yeah. if we you know, try to argue for a society where we you know, hopefully parents aren't being difficult about the child making that decision, mm-hmm. then it becomes quite arbitrary what it is that we write on the birth certificate to begin with.
Yeah.
And you know, as long as they and not just that, but what we also need to change is making sure it's easy for people to change the gender if they so wish to, because yeah. that was part of this person's argument, was that they themselves had gone through this and had felt it was very hard to get that change done when they were older, mm-hmm. Which is fair enough. That is, you know, I can see why yeah. that's frustrating. So yeah, let's make sure that the system is set up in the way that it is easy to change. Mm. But otherwise, it's like, it's, you know, it's really, I just don't see it as being terribly harming to just put a placeholder, really.
Yeah. That's what I see it as, a placeholder. But I think it becomes important to say, are we talking about gender or sex?
And what do you mean?
So if on the birth certificate it says the biological sex of the child, I don't think that's that problematic at all, right? Because the idea is that you can have this sort of gender fluidity, or you can be on a different part of the gender spectrum. But a child won't really know that until they have their own consciousness, right? So if you are to stipulate a biological sex, male, female, I don't see why that would be any problem whatsoever.
Yeah, because of course, like, yeah, as you say, it is quite fluid in that, like, to be transgender, it doesn't necessarily mean you want to just completely become the opposite sex and right. have, you know, body dysmorphia in these cases can take on many different ideas.
Yeah.
You know, some people have only certain parts of them changed and mm-hmm. others go completely. And so, you know, yeah. it's making sure the resources that are, you know, I think it's more important to make sure the resources are there for people to make that change when they want to. Because, for example, I know it's much easier for people to do that if they're allowed to do it before they go through puberty. Because that you can take drugs that actually prevent you from going through puberty and therefore, yeah, sort of becoming a man or a woman, as it were, and then correcting it then means then, yeah, it's actually much easier than doing it as an adult.
Do you think that, like, a child before the age of puberty has the autonomy to make that decision?
Yes, mm-hmm. because if you ask, and I've seen lots of interviews with people who have gone through that, and they said, like, when did you know that you were a woman, when you know, that you, even though you were born a man? They'd say, when I was 5, when I was 6, when, you know, mm-hmm. much younger than you would maybe expect. It's not right. about getting to the age of sort of, you know, becoming a sexual being. Mm-hmm. It's much earlier than that.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like, if a child makes that decision, I think as a parent, you should take it seriously, and you yeah. should, you know, but even... when people do it as an adult, they're still expected to spend a couple of years living as the opposite sex before they have corrective surgery, mm-hmm. and you know, they really have to get used to it and make sure it's for them. Yeah. And the same, yeah, of course, should be done as a child. But, you know, if a child's been doing that for a few years and they're quite certain, mm-hmm. then I think you have to respect that child's wishes, mm-hmm. Which I know this is, you know, it's maybe a little bit difficult to hear that from someone who hasn't, I haven't had children yet, so I understand that my position, but you know, I think it's not about being a parent. It's about listening to people who've actually gone through that themselves, not what you just think as a parent, because it's kind of irrelevant. Yes, you had that child, but it's that child is an autonomous human being with its own feelings and with its own recognition of self.
Yeah, and as a parent who obviously loves your child, I don't think you need to be a parent to realize that that's such a strong bond. You want your child to be happy, and if that happiness is, you know, having that alignment of how they feel internally and, you know, how they present, then I think that's really important to recognize as well.
Totally. All right, let's play another song. We'll come back with a new topic. Up next is one of my favorite bands from England. This is A Bit of Good Shoes.
Or Chinese food over drunken fools singing 80s tunes, and they'll be singing out of tune, saying gaga foreigners out of my area, and skinhead in a barbary coat, this is not the sort of place you want to take your kids to. £50 shops and nothing left to win, slay a meal or win more. Government not noticing the queen, super drug and a KFC is everything I need for a coastal city, is everything I need to promote burglary on. Bugger this in the countryside, a skinhead coming at you with a knife, oh, but you do. Must have stolen wrong about society, or is it more hardened? Is it modern? Is it more hardened? In a horrible way, he hung himself from the local supermarket car park, and walking down Cannon Hill Lane, I saw the flowers lay where a car crash a place, a drug dealer crashed into a chicane. It sort of sums up where we live, but with more hardened Berlin, modern Berlin, more hardened Berlin, modern.
Rising tide.
All right, there we go. That was No Aloha with Generational Divide. Yeah, that's a good track. I love that band, man. They're like, yeah, definitely check out that album. Their new album's called Deluxe. Great Canadian band. All right, so our next topic of the night. Do you want to introduce it? Do you have fancy? Do you remember what it is?
I knew you were going to make that joke. Yeah, so our question tonight is, do millennials have short attention spans? Is there something to that claim that a lot of people seem to purport? What do you think, Simon?
I think that it's not as simple as that. I think there is a shift in taste from generation to generation that kind of appears like that, which is that I think it takes more to hold the attention perhaps of our generation than it did previous generations. Mm-hmm. You know, you only have to look at like the way that children's toys have become more complex year after year. Mm. From, you know, you'd see grandparents talk about playing with a stick and a hoop and things like that. And we'd be like, what the fuck is that?
Where's my laser Nerf gun?
But in this, you know, but that doesn't mean that we have poor attention spans. I think it just means we have sort of higher sort of thresholds of what holds our attention. And, you know, with the fact that we can access so much information and so much different mediums so quickly means that, I think we certainly expect more from things, and it takes more to get us excited. But if something is interesting, it holds our attention. I mean, kids play video games for freaking hours if they really like them. But if you're kind of bored, you'll stop playing it and you'll go do something else. Or if you watch a TV show, but it's not really, you've seen it before, you're watching a repeat, or you might get bored of it a lot quicker. But I don't think that's about having a shorter attention span. I think it's about having, a higher threshold for what keeps your attention. But what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's just about the fact that we're a content generation, right? And there's so much content out there competing for our attention. But I think it's not all bad. I think it's actually quite good. I think it drives up quality. I think it drives up the level of like interest and dimension that something must have. So, I mean, look at TV these days, right? It has to stay entertaining, you know, because there's so many options and someone can just click to the next thing, watch the different stream, you know, click on any other Netflix show. But it makes these shows really interesting because they have to keep saying they have to continue to engage you. And I think what you said for TV, for video games, I think books have to work harder. I think advertising companies have to work a lot harder. I think it just shows that people are willing to push for better things, and I think it drives innovation.
Totally, because even in the classroom as well, teachers, you know, when I was a kid in elementary and high school, you knew the lesson was going to be bad when they pulled out the overhead projector and the teacher writing on that, or like, you know, it was basically just like a poor man's PowerPoint and it was brutally boring.
So bad.
Yeah. But it wouldn't say, oh, kids were way more engaged for it. No, it's just you evolve and you find things that, I think are just of a higher quality.
Yeah.
Maybe we don't put up with as much dullness as our parents' generation does. But that doesn't mean we have poor attention spans. We just, have higher expectations.
Yeah, and I think it also makes you more efficient, right? Because then you can think about like a short attention span and the framework of homework, for example. So it's like maybe, you know, you're jumping from task to task, but once you like are focused on it, you're going to get it done super quickly. So I think once, like, for example, the job market adjusts to that and more jobs are recognizant of that attention span, I don't think it's about condemning young people for short attention span. I think it's realizing that there's a different set of skills and there's a different set of interests. And I think you have a lot of enthusiasm. That was a weird conflection. I think there's a lot of enthusiasm in this generation. Once you're invested in something, people get really excited about it. So I think you just have to tap into that interest and tap into that excitement and you're good to go.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, it's funny because a couple of years ago, they were saying, oh, people, they don't protest anymore. They don't, you know, they don't fight the powers that be and all that. It's like, are you kidding me, man? At the moment, oh my God, people won't shut the hell up.
2017 is the year of protests. In fact, white noise sometimes gets protested.
Yeah, they don't even like us. All right, let's play another song. We'll come back with one last topic before the hour's out. So coming up next is Fast Romantics with American Love. We'll be right back. right, there we go. That was Fast Romantics with American Love. All right, we got one very quick topic because we're nearly out of time. Ninth Wave's coming up after this show, so stay tuned for that. But our last topic of the night is obviously a big news story this week is North Korea tested nuclear weapons. Well, they've tested intercontinental ballistic missile capabilities and successfully launched one that potentially could reach Alaska. So the question is it a likely scenario that they are actually going to fire a missile at North America? Obviously, being near Seattle where we are now, if a nuclear explosion hit there due with the fallout, like, we could be in pretty deep shit up the coast. So what do you think, Sierra? Is that really a problem we should be losing sleep over?
I think it's all fear-mongering. I mean, there are plenty of countries that have demonstrated nuclear capability without the need to strike it, right? It's just
as in all of them except America, yeah.
Yeah, deterrence. Like, that's the idea, right? It makes you feel more safe to have that capability. Not that you're going to use it, but the whole idea of, like, the nuclear peace theory is that since countries have had nuclear capability, they're less likely to strike because it has such this mutually assured destruction, right? And so, I mean, given there are a couple wild cards in Kim Jong-un and Donald Trump, really, like, you know, I'm not one to predict the future. Any political scientist or economist who wants to is going to be a fool, but I would say it's highly unlikely.
I think also things to consider is the fact that just because they can launch an ICBM doesn't mean they can hit a target accurately.
Exactly.
So even if they did launch one, they could miss by hundreds of miles. The second thing is that they may have one or two, but to, like, launch an attack on the US, you would want to have thousands, enough that a missile defense system couldn't necessarily take it down.
Yeah.
Because that's why, like, it would be the missile defense system is, like, vulnerable to an attack from Russia, is they could send, like, thousands of missiles at once, and there's no way in hell that you can knock all of them out. But when we're talking about a couple, it's not really the same thing. Plus, they haven't actually shown that they can miniaturize nuclear weapons to fit on the end of an ICBM. Mm-hmm. So that's a problem. And thirdly, I don't think that it's really about attacking America. I think what this missile launch is about is convincing his own people that he's the right guy to stay in charge.
Yeah.
And that what they're doing is valid in that they're, you know, like, taking away people for talking anything against him. There are, you know, plenty of people starving in the countrysides of North Korea. This is really what this is all about, is convincing them that this project is worth carrying on, which is the same stuff Stalin did and many dictators before.
Yeah, it's all domestic, right? Like, I mean, yeah. Since the Korean War, North Korea has been very inward, isolated. I mean, I think there's a little bit of provocation with the U.S., but they don't actually want to strike. You know, they'd have to, if for there to be any sort of indication of a World War III, they'd have to have China willing to enter into war with the U.S., and there's such an economic advantage to China and the U.S. having good relations. I really can't see it happening.
Fair enough. All right, that's about all the time we have for this week. I hope you sleep well after that conversation. We will be back next week, as we said, hopefully with less technical difficulties than this week. That was a clanger. we're going to leave you with one last track. This is one of my favorite artists. He's from Seattle. It's Father John Misty, and this is Chateau Lobby. I hope you enjoy. You're something else I can't.
prisoner.
I was a prisoner of cocaine.
Cocaine addiction.